Hello and welcome. This is Pastor Harley Wheeler with the Broadway Global Methodist Church, and this is our 7 days of Christmas podcast for the year 2022, as we're looking at the seven named characters in the Christmas story as it is given to us in Matthew and Luke. Of course, that doesn't include like the shepherds who aren't given their actual proper names. In podcast number one, we looked at Zechariah, and in this one, number two, we are looking at his wife, Elizabeth. And so to remind you that the story in Luke opens up with Zechariah, a priest, who is serving at the temple in Jerusalem, and it says of them, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife, also from the daughters of Aaron. In other words, they're from the priestly clans. And her name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now, the story then takes off after giving us this you know, quite a usual story of two people, both very nice, but touched with a certain sadness, that Zechariah is ministering in the temple, and he meets the angel Gabriel, and the angel Gabriel says that his prayer has been heard, even though they, who knows how long it's been since they bothered to pray for a child. They both stricken in years, as the saying goes, and his wife will bear a son. And you're going to call his name John. And that son actually will be filled with Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he'll go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to call people. The days of the Messiah are coming. Things are finally happening after the long wait from the time of the prophets now to the time of the Messiah. And now Zechariah, of course, wondered how this was all going, how he was really going to account for this, seeing as he and Elizabeth are both quite old. And Gabriel says, well, you're going to have a sign because you're not going to be able to say any more things, having asked the one stupid question. Apparently, we're not going to give any room for any more. And Zechariah was reduced to communicating by signs from thence onward. So let's look at Elizabeth. I want to examine both a couple things about her before we even continue her story on. Zechariah and Elizabeth are both righteous before God and walking blamelessly in all the commandments. Well, first off, this is to her credit. Now, that we have a picture of a married couple and an older married couple who are in harmony with their devotion to God. They're actually have one of the pieces of household harmony because they agree that the same things are important. And also, though we might say something like, well, what choice did Elizabeth, a woman of the first century in Judea, have if her husband was going to be all righteous and he was going to keep kosher and he was going to tithe his mint and dill and cumin and he was going to be all about his duties as a priest and this is very important to God? What choice did she have but to go along with it? And I would say that you, if you're thinking that, you have very little experience of human nature. If one individual in a marriage is not on board with the religious walk of the other, they go along with it all right. But there's a good amount of passive aggressive disputing going on, and you can let it be known that you're not that incredibly excited about a God, particularly a God who didn't allow you to have children. And if he wants to do that, he can help himself. But we have a picture that Luke, who has investigated and asked, you know, who were these people, Zechariah and Elizabeth, and found that they were both righteous. They were devoted to God. They were excited about the things that God was doing. And it might come as a surprise to the young that you can still be excited about God. You can still be all in for what he is doing in the world. You can be waiting for him, even though you don't know whether the day of his appearing or the day that he does his great work among us is near or far. And you can be this way even if you've had some severe disappointments and, frankly, some disasters in your life. I've seen people who have overcome a traumatic breakup of a marriage and built upon the ruins of that life and found something that was both a fantastic pairing of husband and wife and also incredibly devoted to God and excited about what he is doing. So Elizabeth is that person. She is alongside Zechariah in this journey as their people of Israel, waiting for the days of the Messiah to come. And also, we might say that Zechariah is going to go back and is going to explain to her what is going on. And we are, of course, there's a veil of delicacy over how that all is conveyed to them. But we might just add one more Bible study top point to this, is that it would appear that a lot more people were literate in that day than we would suppose, because writing keeps coming up in this. After he is done communicating by signs, apparently Zechariah, being mute, not able to speak, the angel has closed his mouth for speech. He writes on a tablet. And so how do you think Elizabeth figured out what the deal was with the angel and the promises and all the details about this child, but that Zechariah wrote it down and Elizabeth, the woman of Judea, read it? And we also get to the later scene when Zechariah does indeed declare that this child's name shall be John. He writes it so that the people may read. And I just have kind of a bee up my nose about this concept that nobody in ancient times read. And so when people had a story like this about Zechariah and Elizabeth, nobody thought to write it down. It might have been 100 years of being passed from hand to hand and mouth to mouth before anybody got the details right. When Luke is obviously talking about writing himself on behalf of someone who has to have that account made. And also, Zechariah and Elizabeth are writing and reading right along. So thank you for allowing me that touch into the idea of literacy in first century Judea. Now, Elizabeth, before we take her to her meeting with Mary, she is a person who is asked to be a miracle in her life. We do not know how that works out, how she knows the change and the answer to God, what it feels like to be healed, both of age and barrenness as she was. But consider that you're never too late to be part of the miracle that God is doing. If you take the women of the Bible, you could be Deborah, who was inspired by God to say that it is time for an oppression and a misusing of God's people to stop. You could be Miriam after the crossing of the Red Sea that stands before Israel and saying it is time to praise. You could be Mary at the coming to Jesus and anointing him before the Last Supper. You could be bringing the precious gift. You could be saying God has moved in my life in this way, and you could indeed be the woman or the man who has a healing that nobody expects and is able to praise God. Elizabeth and Zechariah also have in their own lives demonstration of something that's true with married couples, that you have to allow for the religious work of God, for the spiritual work of God to go along in your spouse. And though you might have lived 20, 30, 40 or more years together, you're not safe from the idea that God might get a hold of your partner and give them what we may as well call a special blessing, a special mission, a call, something that burns in their heart. And it is right, even though the marriage is a complete sharing, it is a right to say, well, I'm allowing God to move in the life, for in Elizabeth's case, of her husband, and that has direct effect in the life of herself. Now, the key scene with Elizabeth is that she meets with Mary. Mary, as you know, is carrying the child Jesus, and she's about 3 months pregnant. And she, it says in verse 39, Mary rose and went in haste to the hill country into the town of Judah, because you know what? The angel had told her that her cousin Elizabeth, in her old age, is with child. So nothing is impossible with God. And so Mary is going to see Elizabeth to have that assurance that what she heard from the angel and what she experienced with the Holy Spirit was a reality, having the confirmation that the Holy Spirit also is working in Elizabeth's life in a way that only the angel could reveal. And Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, and the baby leaped in Elizabeth's womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" So indeed, Elizabeth has been sort of kept herself hidden. She's not wanting to be made a spectacle as the old lady who is now pregnant with a child. Something marvelous is happening. But she is fully ready to declare that God is doing his work. She has heard that her son is to go before the Messiah, and now she understands that the Messiah also is to be born of a woman, and she has met the one who carries him, and she is excited, and she's perfectly declaring to God, "I'm not sure, God, why you're blessing me so much," because, you know, almost in the sense of, what on earth is God going to gain from me? God has involved himself in my life to such a vast extent, and given me a piece in his story, and what does God hope to gain except the pleasure that God gives of blessing a life? So indeed, Elizabeth is grateful. Elizabeth is alongside her husband. Elizabeth is alongside the thing that God is doing. And she's the one to first declare, "This child's name shall be John. The testimony the angel gave, the commandment the angel gave, is binding and is true." Her husband confirms it. Her husband, Zechariah, speaks a word of prophecy that Luke records in the end of his book. And realize Elizabeth again also is saying, "This is what God has given to my husband. Praise God for that." And so she also is ready to admit that in her children, she can not only expect big things from God in their lives, as most parents do and should, but also we're saying that she understands that God is going to have his hand upon her son's, her precious son's life, in such a way that it's not going to be entirely up to her what she sees come out of his life. She knows it will be vast and great. She'll be long gone before John meets his death at the hands of Herod in prison. But she is blessing God for the work in her family. Let us bless God for the work that he is doing in our families today. I thank you for being part of this podcast. This is number 2, looking at Elizabeth in the 7 days of Christmas for 2022. I urge you to tune into the podcast number 3 when you have a chance, and be blessed.